Hello friends, thanks for being here. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope this video finds you healthy and secure. To those of you, and I probably should say this in more openings of videos, but I'm just not a professional YouTuber, I'm a professional student of Buddhism. If this is your first video or your first exposure to Buddhism, I highly recommend you use the playlist link on the homepage of this channel and go to the Basic Basics playlist, and there are lots of videos in there, and you can scan through them and find any subject that attracts your curiosity and learn some of the things that these other more advanced sections like Lotus Lectures or this Nichiren Go shows and so on and so forth are really going to gloss over for you, and they may confuse you. So I highly recommend you do that. For those of you who've been practicing for a while or are familiar or have already been exposed to some form of Nichiren's doctrines of the Lotus Sutra, it's up to you. Everyone's different. You might want to start from the beginning, or you want to jump in and just jump around. Same thing applies. If you go to the playlist, you can at least see a list of the videos underneath that category and then peruse those. Or you can just jump around, whatever suits you. I'm more concerned about those who are just starting out or restarting after a long absence, whatever. Sometimes it's a heck of a lot more easier to get reintroduced to basic terminologies, certainly in the way that I teach them, so that you're prepared for what comes in more involved videos. All right. Speaking of involved videos, we are dealing with a pandemic at the time of this recording. We've been dealing with the coronavirus, COVID-19, and its mutations. We're in our second year of trauma. The whole planet is engaged in fighting off resurgences. It's become very political, which is crazy for an illness to be political, but wherever people can draw dividing lines, well, they are always several willing to do so. This is samsara. This is human avarice. You know, Buddha predicted this 3,000 years ago. So we are living in the midst of it. And I don't mean to alienate anyone or raise any shackles with anyone. The reason I bring it up is because this particular Gosho called The Treatment of Illness really discusses exactly what we're going through right now. And so I'm not a huge fan of the backgrounds that are attached with a lot of these letters, but they do have some insights. And so for whatever they're worth, I think I will read the background on this one, which you know I don't often do, because of its resonance with what we're dealing with right now. So here's the background on this Gosho. This letter was a reply to Toki Jonin. He had been anxiously writing or written about the rampant epidemic. So there was an epidemic in Japan. Nichiren first classifies all diseases into two categories, physical and mental, right? I've talked about that recently, even with some of you who've emailed me. The subject of illness has come up several times. Physical illness, he says, can be cured by skilled physicians. However, and I think that's an important point. That's why I wanted to read this. I don't know what it is in our particular time, our modern times, when we think that there's something that's a quote-unquote cure, that there's a tendency to make it some sort of a panacea that, oh, well, this will cure everything. That's not quite common, especially when you understand that there are different types and depths of illnesses, diseases, that can occur to a human being. Certainly, there's a difference between a physical illness or damage or accident, right? Like a broken leg versus a mental illness, which can take the form of anything from being too overly attached to and emotional about everything, to being outright schizophrenic and psychopathic. So there are so many gradations. And so I'll just continue to read this and you'll see how well this applies to our world today. He separates physical illness, which he says can be cured by skilled physicians. However, illnesses of the mind, he adds, are much more complicated. Those that arise from the three poisons can be treated with the Hinayana teachings, but those caused by slandering the correct or essential teachings, Myoho-ryen Geikyo, can be cured only with the essential teaching, Myoho-ryen Geikyo. Nichiren uses this term to indicate the law of Myoho-ryen Geikyo that he says lies in the depths of the lifespan chapter of the Lotus Sutra. In the latter day of the law, our time now, he says evil demons prevail, right? We live in the time, the period of greed, anger, and stupidity. And you understand anger is not anger, it's manipulation, deception, that kind of thing is anger in our Buddhist practice. Anger, like violent anger, that's the world of hell. Demons prevail, attacking the votaries of the Lotus Sutra. One would therefore expect, Nichiren tells Toki Jonin, to find more victims of the epidemic among Nichiren's followers than among the believers of other schools. Now, that might make you nervous, but we've talked about this several times. If you're knocking on the door of enlightenment, the obstacles, wherever they can appear in samsaric life, are going to be more notable. They're going to come out of the woodwork because you're about to put an end to all of them. So they're going to struggle to survive, right? This is what's personified in these translations as demons, but they're our own personal demons, right? There are karmic retributions. The believers of other schools. However, he adds, there is less affliction and death among Nichiren's followers. So even though Nichiren's followers, in other words, practitioners of Myoho-ryen Geikyo, may find that they have more obstacles to overcome than others who don't practice Myoho-ryen Geikyo, whatever the effects of those illnesses, those obstacles, will be lessened because we are practitioners of Myoho-ryen Geikyo. Kind of like vaccines. Do you see the corollary? You take a vaccine, you may still get COVID, but it will be greatly lessened and the chances of hospitalization and death are extremely small. But those who don't take vaccines will get the disease, but they will run a much higher risk of succumbing to it. There's a correlation there, isn't there? In closing, Nichiren points to the way to end the epidemic. The only way to do so is to demonstrate clearly that this teaching of Myoho-ryen Geikyo is supreme. By this, he means participating in and winning public debate on the relative superiority of the Buddhist teachings. Then he clarifies the difference between the 3,000 realms in a single moment of, or a thought moment of life, expounded by Tendai and Dengyo, and what he himself expounds. He identifies this doctrine as Namu Myoho-ryen Geikyo. So I think that's an interesting foreword. It's a background in this book, but I actually think it works better as a foreword, because now we're going to dive into the Gosho itself. Okay, you all ready? Reply to lay priest or lay monk Toki. Nichiren. I've received the unlined robe you sent me through the offices of Simon, Shijo Kingo. Please inform all those who sent me various offerings that I have received everything he listed. So sometimes messengers, because it was hard to travel to Minobu, wherever Nichiren was as he wrote this, We've encountered a lot of letters about thank you for the rice and the this and the that and this. But obviously, in this writing, there was a whole group of people who sent a group of horses and entourage and so forth to send all their offerings at once to Nichiren, which is, it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. And Nichiren is right to congratulate them and thank them for these things. But we haven't often read about a myriad offerings from different people coming all at once. So that's an interesting difference. I also wish to acknowledge the receipt of the various offerings from the lay monk Ota, shown on the list you made. I have written the other part of the teaching I will discuss here in my letter to Simon Shijokingo. I hope you will ask him to show it to you. So this is the Sangha at work, right? Share knowledge. Thank you for the group of offerings. You identified each one with its sender, and I acknowledge each of them, and Myoho Renge Kyo, right, for the purpose of the proper propagation of Buddha's teachings of Myoho Renge Kyo. Your letter says that the epidemics are raging all the more fiercely. The illnesses of human beings may be divided into two general categories, the first of which is illnesses of the body. Physical diseases comprise 101 disorders of the earth element, 101 imbalances of the water element, 101 disturbances of the fire element, and 101 disharmonies of the wind element. This is a traditional teaching, right? A total of 404 maladies. These illnesses do not require a Buddha to cure them. Skilled physicians such as water holder and water carrier, Jivaka and Pien Chue, prescribed medicines that never failed to heal physical sicknesses. Now, keep in mind that he's also talking to Shijokingo here, who is a skilled physician, right? The second category is illnesses of the mind. These illnesses arise from the three poisons and are of 84,000 kinds. They are beyond the healing powers of the two deities and the three ascetics of Brahmanism, or the six non-Buddhist teachers. Medicines prescribed by Shen Nung and Chuang Ti are even less effective. Illnesses of the mind differ greatly in severity. The 84,000 kinds of illnesses of the mind that arise from the three poisons and that afflict ordinary people of the six paths can be treated by the Buddha of the Hinayana and his teachings in the Agama Sutras. In other words, there are many maladies of the mind that don't require the excellent medicine, if you will, of Myoho Renge Kyo. They don't require it. You can overcome those mental illnesses with more simple practices, ancient practices, meditations, and so forth, right? Or by the scholars and teachers of the Dharma Analysis, Treasury, Establishment of Truth, and Precept Schools, right? They're basic schools of behavior and enhancement to human capacity and understanding. However, if these Hinayana practitioners, in following their teachings, should turn against the Mahayana, or even though they may not oppose Mahayana Buddhism, if the Hinayana countries think themselves equal to the Mahayana countries, the people will be plagued by sickness. It won't work. If they claim superiority, for instance, they are actually slandering the Myoho Renge Kyo. That is the ultimate teachings of Buddha. If they understand their place as a preparatory teaching, as an early teaching, as a stepping stone teaching, and heal people's lesser mental illnesses with those teachings, knowing and respecting all the while that if they cannot or they don't improve, then they'll have to step up their practice to Mahayana and eventually Lotus Sutra in order to conquer their malady, then that's appropriate. But if at any time they say, well, you don't need to do any of that because this is the best medicine for you, and they slide the Mahayana or the Lotus Sutras to an inferior place, then they're slandering it by doing that. And their medicine or their prescriptions for behavior won't amount to any success. If one attempts to cure such illnesses with Hinayana Buddhism, they will only become worse. They can be treated only by the votaries of the Mahayana sutras. Even within the Mahayana, if adherents of the flower garland, profound secrets, wisdom, Mahavarachana, and other provisional Mahayana sutras confuse the inferior with the superior and insist that the teachings of their schools are equal or even surpass the Lotus Sutra, and if the ruler and the others in high positions come to accept their assertion, then the three poisons and 84,000 illnesses all arise. Then if those followers should try to cure these illnesses with the provisional Mahayana sutras on which they rely, the sicknesses will become all the more serious. I think there's one general point here, right? Even if they try to use the Lotus Sutra, their efforts will fail because although the sutra itself is supreme, the practitioners are persons who hold distorted views. So once again, we're reminded, if you're going to practice Myoho Renge Kyo, you must be resolved in it. You can't add it like pepper on steak. You can't just smatter it in when you think you need it within the practices of other forms of anything, non-Buddhist or Buddhist, earlier teachings of Buddhism, or any of that. If you hold any of those other practices, Buddhist or non, as in any way equal to or even superior to Myoho Renge Kyo, then even if you chant Myoho Renge Kyo, it will not function because your mind is unresolved. This is over and over again. Nichiren tries to point this out in all sorts of Goshos and teachings, that preeminent, there are three aspects of practicing this doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. One, you must study, because if you don't study even a little bit, a lot of these concepts are just, they're not going to penetrate deeply. You're not going to understand what you're doing. You're just going to rotely do something, and you won't have the commitment, the resolve, the determination that's required in order to this major feat you're going to do, to leave all of your attachments perceptively away from your perceptive mind and see clearly through your Buddha mind, your Buddha eye. This isn't a simple thing to do. It's a simple practice, but it requires of you a tremendous commitment, a knowing, a conviction, a determination. That is the hardest part of this practice, my friends, and I congratulate you endlessly and tell you how proud I am of those of you who are watching this video right now, with raising the commitment when you go to your mandala and you chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, that you are doing it with the conviction that my Buddha is here. I simply want to use my Buddha mind, see through my Buddha mind, fuse with my Buddha mind, and let everything else fall away just for a moment, just for this time right now. Really determined. That kind of determination, it's tough. It doesn't come easily. Unfortunately, with us humans, it usually comes from trauma. When something really upsetting happens, suddenly we have determination, right? It's crazy. But raising that kind of determination every morning, every evening, when you sit in front of your mandala and you do gongyo, or you just chant, It's not an easy practice. So I'm so proud of all of you for taking that on. Simple to do, not so simple to actualize, right? So this is what he's reminding us once again. Further, the Lotus Sutra itself is divided into two distinct categories: the theoretical teaching and the essential teaching. One is as different from the other as fire is from water or heaven from earth. The difference is even greater than that between the Lotus Sutra and the sutras preceding it. Wow. I assume you know what that means. It means that all of the early chapters, the 14 or so chapters of the Lotus Sutra, of the first half of the Lotus Sutra, including the additional three chapters of the Immeasurable Means Sutra, all of those are also provisional. Certainly they're part of the Lotus Sutra, but again, it's study to understand what's coming next. The essential teachings are the latter 14 chapters of the Lotus Sutra, and more specifically, as I'm sure Nichiren's going to get to here, the 15th or 16th chapter, depending on which translation you use, of the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter. That's the essential teaching. That's the teaching that tells us that Buddha is something that is always present in life. That life itself is Buddha mind. And so we're all of it. We all have it. Therefore, we can all experience it. That's the core of this practice. End of story. That's it. So here we go. These sutras and the theoretical teaching of the Lotus Sutra are certainly different, but still they have some points of similarity. Among the eight teachings expounded by the Buddhas, the perfect teaching of the earlier sutras and that of the theoretical teaching are similar to each other. When the Buddha expounded the pre-Lotus Sutra and the theoretical teachings, he assumed different guises, such as the inferior manifested body, the superior manifested body, the reward body, and the Dharma body. Yet, he invariably depicted himself as having attained enlightenment for the first time in this world, right? That's what most people hear about Buddhism. Buddha was a guy, Siddhartha Gautama, who was a prince and left and saw the suffering in the world and decided to meditate, and bingo, he became a Buddha. That's the story everybody hears, right? But as Nichiren doctrine practitioners of the Lotus Sutra, we know better. We understand the latter half of the Lotus Sutra throws all of that into the river. That's why we know that we can instantiate our Buddha nature right here and now in this human samsaric life. That's the whole point. And it's only in the second half of the Lotus Sutra, the essential teachings. The difference between the theoretical and the essential teachings is that in the former, the Buddha is described as having first attained enlightenment during his lifetime in India, while in the latter, he is the Buddha who attained enlightenment in the remote past. He is the Buddha. In other words, he has realized his Buddha-ness as something that long predates his human Shakyamuni life as a human. Because Buddha is not him. Because Buddha is a mental state and a condition of life that is life itself. But only in this samsaric reality, in this precious, minute instantiation of human sentient beings, can we experience that very thing with our minds. Because only as human can we instantiate this thing called mind. That's all what the precipitation of the lifespan chapter. This difference is like that between 100-year-old man and a 1-year-old baby. The disciples of these two Buddhas are also as different as fire is from water, to say nothing of the difference between their lands. In other words, the world experience, the life experience that they have. That is our land. Your land, my land, they're all individual to our own perception. And when we enlighten our minds, it is the Buddha land that we see through the lens, Buddha eye, that we see. Understand? One who confuses the essential teaching with the theoretical teaching would not have the sense to distinguish fire from water. The Buddha drew a distinct line between the two in his preaching, but during the more than 2,000 years since his passing, no one in the three countries of India, China, and Japan, or for that matter, the entire land of Jambudvipa, has clearly understood the difference. Only Tendai in China, Dengyo in Japan, generally differentiated between the two. And the precepts of the perfect and immediate enlightenment, in which the essential teaching is distinguished from the theoretical, still remain to be clarified. In the final analysis, Tendai and Dengyo perceived it in their hearts, but they did not reveal it for three reasons. First, the proper time had not yet come. Second, the people had no capacity to accept it. They just wouldn't have understood. And third, neither had been entrusted with the mission of propagating it. It is today, in this age, this latter day, that the bodhisattvas of the earth, you and I, will appear and propagate it. It's our bodhisattva mission. Now, do you understand why I prefaced this Gosho with the background first? This is a MFAF letter. This is a core teaching here. The latter day of the law is the proper time for the spread of the essential teachings, so the flowers of Hinayana, provisional Mahayana, and the Lotus Sutra's theoretical teaching will receive no benefit from their teachings, even though they are not guilty of any fault. These teachings can be likened to the medicines compounded for use in springtime that are ineffective if taken in the fall, and you farmers will understand that. Or at least not as effective as they are in the spring or summer. What is worse, these people are deluded as to the relative superiority of Hinayana and Mahayana, or of the provisional and true teachings. And because the rulers of Japan of previous ages believed in these sutras and erected temples and donated fields and farmland to the schools they espoused, if the followers of these teachings today were to admit the truth of my assertions that their teachings are inferior, they would have no way to justify themselves and would, in consequence, lose the support of the ruler. That's the situation at the time. For this reason, they become enraged, slandering the sutra of the true teaching and doing harm to its votary, Nichiren. The ruler, too, accepting the groundless accusations of the followers of these schools, persecutes the votary because he wishes to side with the majority, because he cannot bear to abandon the teachings honored by the rulers of the previous ages, because he is simply ignorant, or because he despises the votary of the true teaching. As a result, the deities who guard the true teachings, such as Brahma, Chakra, and the deities of the sun and moon, and the four heavenly kings, punish the country, and the three calamities and seven disasters occur on an unprecedented scale. Hence the epidemics that have broken out in this year, as well as the last year, and in the Shoka era. And now he's going to break into question and answer. So I'm going to pause here. We've gone through a heck of a lot. And I congratulate you for your attention and your scholarship. And I plead with you to come back on the next one so we can get into this Q&A session, because there's a lot of meat in this little, we'll finish it in the next one, I'm sure. It's not that long of a letter, but it's very meaty. And you know, I like my meat. Ooh, a Buddhist said that. Ooh, ooh. we're in trouble. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just like to be a bit of a clown. All this seriousness makes me want to inject some laughter. Guilty. Once again, though, really, these videos, as much as they are exciting to my scholarship and keep me inspired to continue to instantiate my Buddha, my whole wish with these and my inspiration is that it inspires you, that it keeps you studying, keeps you practicing, keeps you enjoying this practice. There's so much joy to be experienced in this practice. But it is a strict practice, and I am a strict Nietzscheist. Nietzscheanist. Let's make up a word there. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Your support in watching these videos. Use this channel. Go to threefoldlotus.com and use all the documents I have on there and all sorts of stuff on that. It's just a resource site. It's very simple HTML. It doesn't have any hidden, it's just data. And quite a bit of it. There's a lot of things you can get for free. There's a full translation of the Lotus Sutra there. I use several translations. If you go to the playlist again and look up Lotus Lectures, I go through each and every chapter and I jump from one translation to another so you can get the different flavors of how these different authors at different times from the 1880s to today have interpreted with their cultural bias the same materials. And so the truth comes out even more specifically when you do that. Anyway, enough blah, blah, blah. Just thank you so much for being here, for participating. Don't forget about the podcasts are available as audio podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can download them, listen to them whenever you want. The Buddhahood Podcast, right? And I will see you in the next one. Take care of your health. Be kind. Bye-bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yeah, if you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching, but you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called a monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.